Welcome to Startup Success, the podcast for startup founders and investors. Here, you'll find stories of success from others in the trenches as they work to scale some of the fastest growing startups in the world. Stories that will help you in your own journey. Startup Success starts now.
Welcome to Startup Success. We have a really fun lineup today. I have Steve Lord, who is the head of Berkland's fintech practice out of New York, who will be hosting the show today. And he has two exciting guests from the fintech sector with him today. So I'm going to turn it over to Steve and his guests. Thanks for being here, Steve.
Yeah, sure. Thanks a lot, Kate. So I'm here with Igor Ulis and Dmitry Norenko. What we're going to be talking about today is UpSwat and some of the recent developments at that company and what that means for the broader fintech ecosystem, and just generally talk about why fintech is where it is today and where some of us think it's going to go, both from a, you know, we have the financial investment side and then we have the on the ground practitioner side. And we are all very close to this industry. And so there's a bunch of longer term trends that I think are starting to shape up together, which we're going to talk about a little bit today. So let's kick off. And I wanted to go ahead and introduce Igor. Igor, why don't you mention who you're with and what you're doing and what you guys like to focus on?
Absolutely. Thanks, Steve. So Igor Ulis, general partner of Common Ocean. We're a venture fund based out of New York, focusing on early seed stage investments. We primarily invest into companies that are usually post-product, have some early market traction, and really need capital and expertise to scale. Our thesis is entirely based on financial wellness and fintech that focus on financial wellness. UpSwat fit very nicely into that thesis, and we're excited to be backing them in this next leg of their journey.
Okay, great. And then we also have, from UpSwat, we have Dmitry. Dmitry, why don't you give us a few minutes about the company and yourself and where you guys are in the process?
Yeah, sure, Steve. Thanks a lot for the invitation. As Igor already mentioned, we are the fintech that raised our 4.3 million seed round with Igor and some other institutional investors. So we are the fintech that helps the banks, financial institutions, to fight fintechs. So according to the research of Big Four, in 2008, only 34% of the businesses were thinking that the banks are not very supportive. Nowadays, more than 70% of the businesses are looking for the support from Cabbage, Lending Club, Square, PayPal, Challenger Banks. Right. That means that fintechs are eating a huge piece of the banking pie.
Right.
We are changing this. What the businesses are looking in fintechs is available through the banks, thanks to our technology, which provides actionable insights, cash flow forecasts, personalized advice to make businesses perform better with the help of their banks. And 2 years old business, 45 people in the team, serving more than 30 financial institutions. And with the help of Igor, his team and resources, we plan to grow much faster.
All right, great. Thanks. So I would like to kind of kick this off by talking about two core elements of what both of you guys are here today for. And one is the sort of VC landscape into fintech, the stages, valuations, and a couple other questions I'm going to have around there. And then I'm going to want to talk about, Dmitry, how you guys have seen the business evolve or even the last couple of years and what that sort of strategic shift in the landscape, and I'll make this more clear when we get there, what that means for not only UpSwat's success down the road, but other fintech companies and the fintech space in general. So Igor, when you look at companies like UpSwat, 2 years old, you know, before the podcast started, we were talking a little bit about UpSwat and, you know, a lot of existing people on the cap table. Are you seeing, from a VC's perspective, are you seeing the makeup of these startups changing as fintech matures?
Absolutely. So a couple of interesting things that we've seen in the market is that because of the amount of capital out there that's chasing the fintech landscape, fintechs have essentially a bit more freedom in terms of who they decide to take capital from and under what conditions they decide to bring people into their cap table. And there's been already a move towards what is generally referred to as smart money, meaning that it's not just capital, but there's capital plus, whether that plus is subject matter expertise, access to certain markets, or whatever the case might be.
So they're bringing more than just a check, right?
Exactly. So we're seeing a lot of fintechs out there looking to have VC firms or other investment entities bring more than just a check to the table. And that's where we came in, as we, you know, in our discussions, we felt that we can bring more than just a check. We can bring our subject matter expertise, our understanding of the particular audiences that UpSwat is working with, access to capital markets, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And do you find valuations are tracking that added value? Like, you know, you see VCs that have to compete for really good deals now. We had a recent one where the VC stood up at the dinner. This is sort of a virtual thing, but thanked the company for letting them participate in their round. And I had never heard that. Do you find the ability to still make deals make sense in the environment we're in, given what you just said? I mean, obviously you do, otherwise you wouldn't have made the investment. But I mean, I'm just wondering how you guys think about that now with the valuations where they are.
There are certain fundamental laws of supply-demand dynamics that are playing out in the marketplace. Cash supply is rich. The number of companies that cash is available to be deployed into isn't necessarily sufficient.
Right.
And so you're seeing valuations go up. You're seeing certain deals that would never have occurred in the past, where VCs are preempting rounds.
Yes.
VCs are putting money into valuations that are based on 3, 4, 5 year projections,
right,
of runway into companies that may not have had a 3, 4, 5 year history of previous runway. So all sorts of interesting things are evolving in the market. But to me, it just speaks to the fact that we're in the right market. Whenever you see this much competition, whenever you see this much,
right, you know you're onto something.
Demand. Yeah, you know you're onto something. Now, you know, are there deals that may turn upside down at some point in the future? Absolutely. But I believe that's why they call it venture investing, right?
Right.
All part of the deal.
Well, this is going to be a good segue over to you, Dimitri. But so one last question, Igor. So, you know, 10 years ago, when we first started this fintech journey, sort of officially, you saw VCs focusing mostly on guys that were going to disintermediate the banks. Now, with an investment like UpSwat, do you see that shifting? And Dimitri, this is going to be kind of a joint question for both of you guys. Do you see the value chain moving toward companies that are either working with or on behalf of banks to help them do what they do?
We like to think about markets as a pendulum that swings one way, and then it'll ultimately swing the other way, and then it'll keep swinging back and forth. And the swing may take 5 years, it may take 10 years, it may,
right,
take 6 months. It just depends on how drastic of a technology shift you're introducing in any given marketplace. And you're right, 10 years ago, we saw the pendulum start to swing where a lot of capital was being attracted to fintechs that were essentially inserting themselves into the value chain and taking money out of banking pockets, right?
Right.
You saw neobanks attracting deposits, even though it can be argued that a neobank necessarily isn't a bank. It's a,
right, they're a middleman.
Company.
They're actually doing what
a bank, right? So that was an interesting shift where essentially you started to see cash or, you know, funds move from, you know, one banking institution into another banking institution, more efficient rails or,
right,
more carrots attached to those rails where you had, you know, certain rewards or other incentives being provided to those individuals who are willing to move their money away from traditional banks and into these banking partners of fintechs. And so you saw cash outflows from traditional banks to more non-traditional banks or banks that would not have traditionally attracted that capital.
Right.
And what we're seeing now is we're seeing the pendulum start to swing the other way, where the banks are thinking about how to fight back against the momentum that's been generated over the last 10 years, where cash was leaving their banking institutions. And now they're trying to figure out, A, how do we make sure that the cash doesn't leave, because we can offer the same utility that,
right,
would traditionally be offered by a fintech that was competing for our dollars? Or how do we create the right set of incentives in order for that money not to leave? So it's through this combination of utility and incentives that traditional banking institutions are essentially keeping the money that they have, rather than,
mm-hmm,
having that money slowly leak out of their institution into a fintech attached banking institution.
Yeah, they
so
kind of
I hope
finally understood that they could plug that hole and provide that same service. So, Dimitri, how do you
I was going to say the other thing is, like, the amount of funds that were flowing out of this hole that they're plugging now has also changed, right? So,
right,
when it was not sufficient, or maybe not, but it wasn't a big number that was flowing out.
Right.
It wasn't necessarily something
wasn't
that
on
was
the
radar.
Yeah.
Now the amount of funds that are being moved through these rails has increased dramatically,
right.
there's just more attention being paid to the movement of these funds.
Got it. So Dimitri, first, I didn't say this before, but first, congrats on the round. What do you think about this whole process? Because your company, from what I understand, is anchored really on being that provider to financial institutions and helping them sort of combat what we were just talking about. Can you tell us a little bit about how UpSwat slots into that ecosystem and how you see that ecosystem turning more your way and enabling the company to grow?
Yeah, you have a very nice question. In any company, for any startup, especially for the fintech, the timing is the crucial part of the business success. So the banks, they know that they need to change. They know that they are pretty old school guys, that their processes are inefficient, expensive, not convenient, especially for the new generations. But they are slow.
Yes.
We say them this for many, many years. Lots of smart people are saying them this for many, many years.
Yes.
But something recently changed, and this is COVID. COVID is dramatically changing the industry. People don't want to go to the branches. They don't want to touch the papers. They don't want to stay in the lines. They want to communicate with the banks the way they got used to communicate with the fintechs. The bank should change, because if they don't change, they die. And actually, this is what is happening. 20, 25 years ago, there were 20,000 of banks in the US. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's only 9. So the banks, unfortunately, are dying. We are coming to the banks, especially community banks. This is why ICBA, Independent mm-hmm. Community Bankers of America, invested in us. We are saying them that, guys, new generations, they don't think that your business model is the best. Coming to the branch, drinking the coffee, talking for 2 hours with someone about your dog, about your bar, and the way that you need to grow your business. No, they just want to push the button and to know what to do next.
Right.
And we are giving them this. We are saying that businesses, new generations, they use QuickBooks or they have CPA using QuickBooks. They every day spend their money on marketing. They sell on Amazon, eBay, and Shopify.
Right.
They use PayPal, they use Square. Let's give them the tool to combine everything in one place, but in your bank.
Right.
And based on this data from your account and CRP, CRM, e-commerce, marketing tools, help them to know what to do next. When they need to buy more goods for their stocks, when they need to increase the salaries for their people, when some of their employees is not that level efficient as others. What they have to do to perform better and make their businesses more successful.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they are looking. Because as we discussed, businesses is the blood of the economy, especially in the US. They need the support, but they are the riskiest segment.
Mm-hmm.
We are saying that the banks might be the place to help them to perform better. By help perform business better, they create a more reliable borrower.
Right.
And
a stickier customer, right? The customer stays with them longer.
Yes.
And right.
Stickiness.
Uh-huh. I think the data element is very important to Flare, right? Because like you said, Square, PayPal, QuickBooks, Vouch, all of these online firms that are speaking more to the younger generation, they are very heavily interested in the data flow that they can see. So when you look at a stodgy old bank that's desperately trying to figure out how to modernize their world, are they talking about data? Is it a thing that they understand the value of? You know, I understand they tend to know the value of the regulation of the data, GDPR and, you know, PSD2 and these other, you know, SOC2, all these other acronyms. But do they see the value yet in the predictive element of the data yet?
So that depends on the size of the bank. As of now, we are working with 3 out of top 10 national banks in the US. So with them, yeah, they see the value.
Okay.
They're looking for the new ways to cut the cost, simplify the processes, become more innovative. It's a tough process. It takes a lot of time to pass the compliance with them to get
right.
all their approvals. But they're looking for these technologies.
Right.
Unlike community banks. Community banks, they know that they are dying, unfortunately.
Yeah.
These are great
yeah.
people with great businesses. They support lots of SMBs in the US. But to change their business model is something tremendously difficult for them.
Mm.
To accept something innovative is difficult for them. So what we understood with the community banks as of now, that they know that they need to change, but they're scared to change.
And they have a hard time knowing how, right? So you guys give them a turnkey kind of mechanism to do that.
Yes, and we were so successful that one of the banks of community banks, we have 5 of them working with us right now. We got them during the last 2 months. First Southern National Bank, let's say not very big community bank in Kentucky, They were so impressed that they joined our round. They invested in us. So this is
the bank itself. Oh, excellent.
The bank itself. The bank itself. So this is the example when community banks can change, willing to change. They want to be the part of these changes so that they invest in companies. So ICB invested in us. First Southern National Bank invested in us. Obviously, VC invested in us. And lots of angels, because different people from different verticals, they believe that the world will move this way. They are trying to take a look at what will happen with this life in 5 years, in 10 years.
Yeah, that's the value of it. Let's hold there for a second. You, in the pre-call, we were talking a little bit about those angels. And what I was struck by when you were kind of rattling them off was the level at which some of these individuals have been engaged in the traditional finance world. And they come from that world and they see the value in what you're doing. So can you talk, I don't know how much you can talk about that on this call, but can you give us a little bit of an idea of the kinds of standard or legacy industries that your angels come from?
So that depends. We have different angels. For example, we have CEO of Klarna, which is the largest fintech in Europe. They are helping businesses sell better to their consumers, and this is a very innovative company. So Knut, who is the CEO of Klarna, he strongly believes that this is the future of the relationship between financial institutions and small and medium-sized businesses. Carrie is the former president of Western Union, and he is managing Sage in Asia-Pacific. And Carrie believes that we will change the industry as well. That's why he joined us. We have former chief risk officer of Cabbage. This guy has provided $17 billion in loans in 10 years, having no papers.
Right.
No branches.
No vaults, no branch, no coffee.
Nothing like that. Just offering their clients to share the data. And Kostov believes that we found a new way how to push the clients to share the data. And this data can be used not only in underwriting and scoring, but help the clients perform better. We have lots of other great professionals that joined us from TransUnion, for example. Ron Stewart, who was leading sales in TransUnion.
Interesting.
We have general manager and executive vice president of American Express, who is leading all SMB business in this company. So he's a great person. He knows this business very well. He's very helpful. So we have brilliant people that believe that we are moving the right way. And their support is precious because their level of network, their strategic approach, they're helping hiring the people, they're helping closing the deals is something that we can't.
Not at the level. Yeah, what I'm struck by is that these are the people who will know where the holes exist at Western Union, at American Express, in the payment rails, in the banking, and in how they're servicing small and medium-sized businesses right now in these traditional places. I know that, you know, we work with a lot of founders and a lot of small startups that are struggling to deal with really cutting-edge stuff inside their company, and then they have to go to a legacy mainline bank and still fill out a paper deposit ticket. And they struggle to understand how far behind some of those processes can be. Okay, good. So let's pivot for a minute a little bit. Both of you guys have hinted to this, but when fintech first kind of came out, and I mentioned this earlier, we talked a lot about how, like I said, these traditional banks were going to be disintermediated, and a lot of companies popped up like Cabbage, like Stripe, like Square, PayPal, to take a piece of the banking pie and put it over here. It seems like, and a couple of the big deals last year kind of hint to this, that we're moving toward almost now the reverse of that, as you were saying, Igor, the pendulum turning the other way, where we see consolidation maybe starting to happen, where we see banks starting to cobble some of this back together again. Arguably, what UpSWAT is doing is helping cobble some of those systems and data collection sources together in one thing and allowing a bank to do it. Do you guys see this trend continuing that we blew it all apart, and now maybe for the next 5 or so years, we're going to pull it all back together again? Igor, I'll start with you.
Sure. I guess it's probably not as binary as that. It's likely going to land somewhere in the middle where certainly banks are not going to stand by and watch their pie get sliced into thinner and thinner slices.
Right.
They will act proactively to make sure that they continue to exist. These are, you know, institutions that have been around for a long time and are planning on being around for a really long time. But at the same time, innovation is unstoppable. So they will need, and you look at what's happening, for example, in the DeFi markets, that's a whole new horizon of technological innovation that traditional financial institutions are going to need to figure out how to swim in those waters. And so I think this is just an ongoing thing that's going to continue. But the good news is there will never be a lack of opportunity when you have such drastic financial change coming into legacy markets. Each of the new players, old players, interim players, they will continue to compete and they will continue to generate value. The good news is that all of this value should translate into a much better consumer experience. Right. Because ultimately everybody is fighting for the same eyeballs.
Yes.
And the better product you can build and the faster you can satisfy that I want, I get curve, the longer lifespan you'll have in this industry. And so I think basically that's what, you know, everybody is vying for.
Right. I read a thing where it's all about interaction, speed, convenience, and permanency, actually, that they don't have to worry about it again. They can fill out the form, hit submit, and they're done. You know, Dimitri, any thoughts on what I was saying about like it blew itself apart and now it's going to kind of come back together again?
You know, like, for example, one of our business models is through the partnerships. So we are working with several core banking system providers and their C-level executives, for example, Hannes Liebe from Finastra, he invested in us, and Chief Financial Officer of Temenos, he invested in us as well, because they believe that core banking system providers that serve dozens of thousands of banks, they need to change. These guys, they are strategic-minded. If they invest in such a small company that is serving only 33 clients as of now, big financial institutions, but only 33, and they invest their own money in our company, they believe that the world will move in this way. Nothing is coming back. Everyone is moving online. They are moving into the cloud. They are creating, they are in the demand of the new technologies that will simplify internal processes.
Right.
So we strongly believe that the list of the angels, those people that invested in us, from different segments like American Express, core banking system providers, lots of fintechs and so on. If all of them, they vote that the world is moving that way, nothing will change. Right. The world is moving that direction. These smart people, they know that the world is moving that direction and they trust us that this team will build the company that is moving the same way.
It's going to go in the same direction.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys both, are the regulators keeping up with this? Where are the banking regulators on all of this? Because you mentioned DeFi before, you know, I have the background in that as well. And, you know, the regulations are still kind of being made up as we go along. And most of the banking regulations haven't been touched in 50 years.
You see, Steve, we are touching opt-in API-enabled data, financial data. So that means that we are not touching your personalized data.
Got it.
We give you an option to share the data that you own based on your permission with the bank. We analyze your data, but the data that you gave to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we transform this data the way that it will help you. Why 66 million of people are using Mint? Mint from Intuit Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gives them the value out of the data. It combines everything in one place, helps to build the credit score, helps to make financial
decisions. Very clean, very easy. Yep.
We are Mint for businesses. We take Mint for consumers, created Mint for businesses, and white label this to the banks because people need this. If they need this as consumers, they need this as the businesses. So like with Intuit, the businesses are given the data, opt-in, authorized access to the data. The data is transformed to give it back and help businesses to perform better. Mm-hmm. Why not? Mm-hmm.
So you don't see, there's no regulatory construct here that's going to, because I keep thinking at some point, fintech, innovation in fintech, beyond, if you take the crypto out of it, if you just take payment rails and you take some of the other stuff that really is the lion's share of fintech work, there will be a coming to the realization that regulations are not built for this modern world, this construct in general, where it is so data driven and anonymized and API calls and cloud storage and all that. The privacy laws don't really work well with it. The banking laws, AML, KYC, all of that sort of stuff is predicated on a world where they spend 2 hours having coffee with you. What do you think, Igor?
So the good news is that the markets in which UpSwap is operating and the data regulations have, or the rulings around data regulations have existed for quite a while. As you said, these are not crypto-based transactions. These are not the lesser understood from a regulatory perspective. The rules here are fairly well established and they're cut and dry. The data, and we've worked with UpSwap to make sure that this is all done properly, but the data is stored in a way that is compliant, that can mm-hmm. be audited, that can be shown that it operates within regulatory boundaries, and can be audited to be shown that it operates within regulatory boundaries. So I think that what UpSwat is doing is very different from some of the very unknown DeFi
really
world.
Cutting edge stuff, that will, yeah.
Yes. And so I think it's less, regulatory landscape is less of a concern for UpSwat than maybe some of the newer fintech organizations that are using crypto as their fundamental
right.
value store and exchange.
So then tying back that idea that we will do this phase of consolidation over the next maybe 5 years or so. And as you said, you're right, it's not as cut and dry as A to B, but do you think that increasingly those existing banking regulations will cover the inclusion of this technology inside that sort of traditional banking umbrella?
I believe that that will happen. There were certain comments being made by the SEC that essentially boiled down to the job of these regulatory bodies is to ensure that markets exist to support people.
Right.
And regulatory restrictions and whatever guidelines will come out in the future, that's the foundation of all those things. It's to make sure that markets can continue to operate efficiently, to make sure that the individuals or small businesses or whoever the users, the end users of these markets, can continue to achieve their desired outcome in the most cost-efficient and frictionless method possible. And I think all regulations are going to continue to move towards that.
Right. So, Dimitri, and you're looking at UpSwat and where you guys have been and where you are now, are you working only with financial institutions like banks, or do you have you're casting a wider net?
Yeah, before seed round, we wanted to show VC and our angels that we can go in different directions. So, for example, our technology is used by one of the largest telcos in Europe. It's MTS. We've got a couple of fintechs like Tribal Credit that is using our technology and making their clients more sticky to alternative mm-hmm. lenders. Mm-hmm. But this week, we announced that we started working with MasterCard. So MasterCard is using our technology to interact
Congrats.
With business owners directly. We are changing their business model. They are also very excited because this is something new for them. Because MasterCard is not the place to help the businesses accept payments and make the transfers. MasterCard is the place to help businesses perform better.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that by showing our VC, showing our investors, showing our clients that we have banks, we have telcos, we have one insurance company, we have fintechs, we have MasterCard. This is applicable in any direction. Mm-hmm. But we will focus on banks as of now to get the huge piece of the market pie.
Yeah, MasterCard is such an interesting company because they're so big. I followed them for years, and they are so keen on understanding innovation. Like, they may not go innovate itself, but they are watching very closely. I remember when crypto was first getting, really going, everybody was going to try and go put MasterCard out of business. And mm-hmm. I remember, you're not going to put them out of business. They're going to know exactly what you're doing, and then they're going to do it themselves. Mm-hmm. So, Igor,
yeah.
I wanted to also ask you guys, so now you made this investment in UpSwat. What's next for your fund? Is this an area you guys are staying in? You're going to go a little wider inside fintech, or what's next?
We are going to continue to stay true to our mission, which is to invest into fintechs and founders who are on a mission to put people on a path to prosperity.
Oh, wow,
we think that's a fairly wide thesis.
It's a pretty big
and, there's not a lack. The wonderful news is that there is not a lack of just brilliant founders
yeah.
who are taking a look at systems that have been in place for decades and decades, and finding ways to iterate and very quickly bring products that are truly aggregating value to the user. And so we're very excited about that, and we would welcome any and all inquiries from these founders.
Awesome.
Please, find us on our website.
We see the same thing with Berkland.
Yep.
So many really, really cool ideas and really, really, really smart people. All right, great.
And that's encouraging.
Well, that's good. We'll leave it there. Thank you guys both for joining us on this. We love getting good founders and good VCs together to talk about what they're doing. And with that, Kate, I'll hand it back to you.
Thank you, Steve. What a fascinating, insightful conversation. I read all about this, but to hear from people that are on the front lines and actually, innovating, it was really fun. So thank you both. Dimitri, congrats again on your round.
Okay.
If people are interested in learning more about UpSwat and want to get in touch with you, where should they go?
So they can easily reach me on LinkedIn and obviously our website, especially those people who are looking for a job. Salespeople, data science, project, product management, we are hiring great professionals and we are happy to invite people to join our team.
Oh, great.
That's great. Thank you. And Igor, I love what you said about, you know, innovation. So where can startup founders reach out to you?
LinkedIn or via our website at commonocean.co.
Excellent. Thank you. And Steve Lord is, again, head of Berkland's FinTech practice. You can reach him at hello@berklandassociates.com. Correct, Steve?
Yeah, that's great. That works well.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for being here today. It was very insightful, and I hope to have you all back soon.
You've been listening to Startup Success. To make sure you don't miss out on future episodes, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast player. Like what you hear? Tap the number of stars you think the show deserves in Apple Podcasts. For more tools and resources for your own startup success, check out berklandassociates.com. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.